uplifting the people and uniting the nation.
Welcome to GPR Half Hour.
Alright, it's another Wednesday morning. A very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us on a fresh edition of the program GPR Half Hour on the network service of Radio Nigeria, Africa's largest radio network. Well, DPR Half Hour is proudly sponsored by the Department of Petroleum Resources, the federal agency charged with the responsibility of regulating and monitoring oil and gas activities in Nigeria to ensure compliance with proven standards and global best practices. The program X-rays the activities of the agency and the petroleum sector in Nigeria. Welcome to DPR Half Hour. My name is Ahmed Olaliko. And on the program today, we will be looking at laboratory services of the department. And as a listener, you have a chance to be a part of the program by sending in your views. You can call the studio lines 0818-706-9979 and 0813-331-3172. You can call any of those lines if you have questions or comments on the program. Well, messages can also be sent on our social media platforms and Facebook. We're on Facebook. That's www.facebook.com/DPR Hotline. On Twitter, it's at DPR Hotline. On Instagram, it's at DPR Hotline. You can also send an email to info@dpr.gov.ng. We'll take a break, and DPR Half Hour will be back. Please stay.
DPR Half Hour. We'll be back.
Glad to know you're still there. If you're just joining us, you're listening to DPR Half Hour on the network service of Radio Nigeria. And today we're looking at laboratory services of the DPR. We have the Assistant Director, Health, Safety and Environment, in charge of laboratory services and quality control of the DPR, Mr. Agada Jerome. Glad to have you on the program today, Mr. Agada.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Nigeria.
Okay, so we're talking laboratory services today. Let's look at the role of the DPR. Let's start that way. The role the DPR plays in controlling the use of huge volumes of hazardous chemicals deployed in the process of exploring and producing crude and some of these elements you use in making crude oil. Making petroleum products, rather.
Thank you. It's important to let my fellow countrymen know that the Department of Petroleum Resources employs the authority it derives from the Petroleum Act in the pursuit of quality control issues in the industry, especially in the area of chemicals that are used, huge volumes of the chemicals that are used. The Petroleum Act of 1969 and the Drilling and Production Regulation 1988 as amended empowers the Minister of Petroleum Resources to formulate guidelines and policies for smooth and safe operations in the industry, especially for environmental sustainability. We have the environmental guideline and standards for the petroleum industry in Nigeria, which is a very valuable tool the department uses in ensuring specifications and compliance with those aspects of chemical discharge, chemical usage.
Okay.
We have a process that ensures that every oil producing company, including the marginal and indigenous ones, every chemical we are going to deploy to the industry, they require to submit a sample of that chemical with an application accompanied by safety data sheets and the product data sheet, so that the department reviews the properties of that chemical and, if necessary, subject that chemical to tests. Aside from those tests, like toxicity tests, biodegradability tests, and so on, we also review the SGS and look at other internationally recognized bodies. For instance, in the area of chemicals, we look at the European Chemical Association, CEFAS, which is the body in UK for the Center for Environment, Fisheries, Aquaculture, and
We also have RIS, which is an acronym for an organization for the registration, evaluation, authorization, restriction of chemicals in Europe. Most of the chemicals deployed in the industry are from the America or Europe. And by the time we review this SDS, we conduct tests, which are usually conducted by two independent laboratories in order to have comparison and reproducibility to be sure that the results are reliable. If the chemicals come up with results and the review of the SDS and the information we get from other international bodies about the constituents of that chemical, if they are not good enough, we disapprove the chemicals and they will not be used in the industry. That is the policy of the department. And we have also a way of tracking the industry. Every company that uses chemicals in its drilling operation are required to submit reports of the amount of chemical it uses every month, and we also try to find out the concentration that they are deploying, because when we give approval, we indicate how much should be used. And so we have a way of tracking, and when we go out for facility inspection, annual facility inspection, one of the things we do in our audit is to look at the chemical they have in stock.
Okay, I'm wondering, the oil and gas industry is a very vast industry. How does the DPR manage to do all this in an industry this big?
Yeah, the department has zonal offices.
Okay.
We have several zonal offices, particularly in the Niger Delta area where we have huge activities taking place there. We have Port Harcourt zonal office, we have Warri zonal office, and we have even field offices that operate under the zonal offices. So we have staff. What the department cannot handle at the headquarters, particularly in the areas of operation, the zonal offices have competent staff that can handle that. And we have other offices also in the northern part of the country too. But as you are aware, most of the oil activities are in the Niger Delta zone. So we have zonal offices in Warri, in Port Harcourt, and in Owerri, and field offices in the state capitals within those areas.
Okay, now we know that every project in the industry is covered by an environmental impact assessment study, which spells the impacts and provides mitigation. Generally, in operations, this facility is continually the study mission into the environment. How does the DPR ascertain the mitigation and implement, make sure that these things are affected?
Yes, like you rightly pointed out, of course, environmental impact assessment is key to every project, because it assesses the impact the project is going to have. But again, one key component of the environmental impact assessment is the monitoring plan.
Okay.
Every environmental impact assessment must have a monitoring plan. And that goes to look at the mitigations, the effectiveness of the mitigations put in place. Again, for every facility you have, there are point sources. The point sources are the points where the waste are discharged, either by emission into the atmosphere or effluents discharged into surrounding environment. Now, the department ensures that the environmental monitoring plan that accompanies every EIA is implemented. How does it do this? The companies are supposed, they are expected mandatorily to do weekly sampling.
All the companies?
All the companies that produce of their discharges. The point, the end of pipe discharges, and then it also look at the environment that receives, that is the respiratory environment. And then from that weekly sampling analysis, they are supposed to send them to the department for review, monthly reports. The department does not stop at that. We go ahead to validate what they do. By quarterly, that is once in every quarter, we participate, the department participate in the sampling jointly with them, and then we ensure that the samples collected from those points are taken to laboratories and we witness the analysis to see that they are not just sending reports to us, but we go to validate to see actually they are doing what they are supposed to be doing.
Okay.
So by that way, we try to, as much as possible, ensure that the mitigations are effective and review the reports. If we notice spikes, the company has to give a reason, a justification why we have such spikes, and have to put in place immediately processes to ensure that the discharges, that the levels of that pollutant that had gone up maybe in one or two instances, reasons why they went up that way, and what have they done to bring them down.
Okay, in your words, your exact words, you said the companies are expected to run a weekly sampling. Yes. Expected to. But do they do that?
They do that.
They do that.
They do that, yes. They do that. They are mandatorily expected to do that. And that comes in the monthly report. Weekly sampling and analysis, which is done in-house, then they engage third-party laboratories, which are accredited and registered by the department, to do. Some of them have laboratories that conduct that for them, but others engage third-party laboratories that are registered and accredited by the department to do that.
Okay, I'm thinking now, if we have all of these in place to check excesses and, you know, substandard practices, how come we still have some products in town or in Nigeria? Some products that are not up to standard. Some of them are adulterated, some have very hazardous components. How come we still have them if we have all these checks in place?
Well, the check I just mentioned to you has to do with effluent with discharges. Maybe you have oily water that may contain heavy metals, hydrocarbon content, and you have emissions that contains the SOx and the NOx, right? Sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, and so on.
Okay.
But in the area of products that are off-spec, of course there could be many reasons as a result of that could cause that. We could have operational problem, but for some time now we've not had operational problems. Most of the products that we have in Nigeria today, over 90% of the products, the white products, that is petrol, kerosene, and diesel, they are imported. And I think the federal government, through NNPC, imports over 90% of the product. Oh. And if you have few cases of adulteration, they may be as a result of maybe the use of tanker trucks that are not supposed to carry one product, but they are carrying, or they have residual content of a product they had carried earlier, and they now, because of changing to another product, you find this kind of adulteration. And they manifest, for those who use automotive vehicles, they manifest sometimes, you buy petrol, you find a lot of water inside, or you buy kerosene, it is adulterated and cause explosion. So those are the areas, but as for the imported product, Every effort is systematically taken to ensure that the product I imported meets the Nigerian spec.
Okay, so let's look at importation now. You mentioned that 90% of the products are imported products.
Yeah.
And we know it's a semi-derelegated downstream sector where products are imported by the government and marketers. With this huge volume of importation coming from different angles of the sector, how does the DPR ensure that quality petroleum products gets to the consumer across the value chain?
The department has officers at the seaports. Currently, Lagos seaport is the busiest, and almost all the products that come, the vessels that come, bet in the Lagos seaport. The department has representatives, staff, and it is expected that every vessel, in fact, let's see, we begin from the proponent. Before an importer gets approval to import, the provisions of the import permit that permits that importer to bring to this country requires that importer to bring a sample of the product he intends to import into this country with an application. That sample will be accompanied with a certificate. The department receives that sample, analyzes that sample, and documents the quality parameters of that sample before an approval is granted for the importer to import. Now, when the bulk product, AGO, PMS, or DPK, household kerosene, when the bulk product comes in the big vessel, a sample is again taken, and that vessel is accompanied with a certificate of analysis, a certificate of quality for that product.
Okay.
Now, the sample taken from that vessel is again analyzed to ensure that the sample
the specimen that was sent earlier before approval was granted for importation agrees with the bigger vessel that has come. And again, when that money is conducted, it's not just only to ensure that what we had first agrees with what has come in bulk. We also ensure that the certificate of quality about this product, it falls within the Nigerian industrial standard, because if it is not within Nigerian industrial standard, the product will not be allowed to discharge, the vessel will not be allowed to discharge.
Okay, this has given a lot of confidence to Nigerians, petroleum users across Nigeria.
Let me ask quickly, the analysis that is conducted at the seaport, we have third-party laboratories, but the department cannot establish laboratories all over the place. That is what is done in other climes. You register laboratories, ensure that they have the capacity, the full complement of relevant equipment to do the test, and they have relevant staff that have the pedigree, the experience. So we have laboratories at the seaport that conduct this analysis. And periodically, we also take a look at the operation of the laboratory to ensure that they have not fallen below the standard. To ensure that at least issues of reproducibility of results, reliability of results are not brought down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how many laboratories do we have generally in Nigeria? Do we have the
figure? They're in their hundred.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I don't have the exact number now, but they're up to 400.
All right. Some assurance there for product users in Nigeria. A lot of tests go in to ensure safety and standards. Well, keep the calls coming in now. 0818-706-9979 and 0813-331-3172. It's DPR Half Hour on the Network Service of Radio Nigeria. You have questions, you have comments, you can call in to vent your thoughts. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning to Comrade Ibe.
All right, Comrade Ibe from Ojo, go ahead.
There is an incident that happened here sometime in Lagos about this kerosene explosion. So what is the
deep
about that? Thank you.
Okay, alright, Comrade Ibe, he asked a question about kerosene explosion.
It's not specific about this. Can you be more specific about kerosene explosion? Because which area, which one are you talking about? Can you throw more light on it?
Okay, alright, keep the calls coming in, 0818-706-9979 and 0813-331-3172. We're talking about laboratory services of the DPR, and we have the Assistant Director, Health Safety Environment, in charge of Laboratory Services and Quality Control, Mr. Agada Jerome. Hello, good morning.
Morning, bad.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. The question is not very specific, because if you had mentioned maybe the filling station, it would be easy for me, because we have series of issues that are coming up. But I will tell you exactly what the department does when you have issues like that, especially when it is the product is traceable to a retail outlet, a filling station. Immediately, the department will quarantine that filling station and will go and take sample from that station to test. Now, if it is established that the quality of that household kerosene is off-spec, the retail outlet will be sanctioned. We will also do further investigation to find out where that retail outlet loaded from. If it loaded from a depot, we will definitely quickly quarantine that depot. But most times when we have cases of kerosene explosion, either because of the scarcity of the product, when we try to track where the customer or the victim or the relatives of the victim got the kerosene from, they trace it to surface tanks that are displayed by the roadside, which is good enough. In that case, it's even easy for us to still do some further investigative job. But when you find them buying from a 20-liter jerry can or a 50-liter jerry can, and maybe by the time you go to that place in the market, that you don't find the person again. So it becomes very, very difficult for the department to investigate such issues and take appropriate action. So the very one you are talking about, you did not mention the name of the retail outlet, so it becomes very difficult for me to make a comment on that. But generally, this is what the department's approach to handling such issues.
Okay, we'll take a short break now, and when we return, we'll go back to your calls, 0818-706-9979 and 0813-331-3172. It's DPR Half Hour on the network service of Radio Nigeria. We'll be back.
DPR Half Hour. We'll be back.
The 18th International HSC Biannual Conference on Oil and Gas Industry in Nigeria will hold in Lagos with the theme Driving Sustainability in the Oil and Gas Industry through Improved Stakeholders' Environmental Stewardship. Date 26th to 28th November 2018 at the Hotels and Suites. Registration fees 100,000 naira per participant, 50,000 naira for each CPC members and presenting authors, 20,000 naira per student with valid ID cards. Participants should kindly indicate their willingness to attend by registering electronically via www.oghseconf.com.ng. Interested exhibitors should book for their space requirements electronically on or before July 13, 2018. For further inquiries, please contact Mrs. Emily Ayaize, Secretary, Conference Planning and Management Committee on 081-7365-4981. Mrs. Titilaya, Chairperson, Local Organizing Committee on 070-34-00-0082, or Mr. Paul Osu, Chairman, Publicity and Protocol on 081-1395-2154, or visit our website www.oghseconf.com.ng. Email inquiries at oghseconf.com.ng. Signed, Mrs. Onyebuchi C. Shibeldu, Chairperson, Conference Planning Committee.
All right, glad to know you're still there. If you're just joining us, you're listening to DPR Half Hour on the network service of Radio Nigeria. And today we're talking laboratory services of the DPR, and that we have a guest still in the studio. Remember, you can call in to ask questions, 0818-706-9979 or 0813-331-3172. These are the numbers to call. Call in now, and you have questions you can ask, or you have comments, you can drop your comments on the program. Now, Mr. Gada, let's look at quality assurance now. Quality assurance, quality control. Now, these are key delivering accurate, reliable, and consistent data for the oil and gas industry. How does the DPR assure that these over 100 laboratories you talked about earlier are rendering services to achieve some of the set standards for the industry?
Thank you. The over 100 laboratories we have registered with the department, not all of them conduct tests in the area of petroleum product quality certification.
Not all.
Not all. But the total number of laboratories we have in the countries, I'm not very certain about the number, but they're over 400.
Okay.
So in the area of petroleum product quality assurance, the number is lower than that. It's about one third of that. Because we have an area of job areas. Now, to begin with, they establish the laboratory. After setting up, you must write an application to the department indicating your area which you want to specialize in handling samples. So our accreditation of every laboratory is job area specific. We accredit the laboratory, and then the area you want to render service has to be specific. Based on that specificity, we look at the relevant equipment, test equipment that is available to you and the personnel you have to do that job. Then we'll give you the accreditation. That is the beginning. Then annually, in order to ensure that you sustain that capacity, so that what you are churning out in the at the end of the day does not fall short of the requirement, of the standard, we conduct
annual audit. And the annual audit engages all our staff in the zones. Laboratories in Port Harcourt, they have their schedule. In Warri, they have their schedule. In Lagos, they have their schedule all over the zones. And we do that every year. Arising from that audit, if we find out that the performance of the laboratory comes short of what it was at the point of first accreditation, we deny them renewal of accreditation. We do not revalidate their accreditation. And this accreditation is a tool, it's a very important tool in the sense that for you to render any service to the industry, you have to have an industry service permit. It is a provision in the regulation. If you do not have, it's an offense. So if you do not have the industry service permit, you are not qualified for any competitive bid for any contract in the oil and gas industry. So that excludes you. So every company, including the labs, ensure that they meet the requirements in order to be accredited. Otherwise, they lose their business. So the department does that using the audit as a tool. Then, in the course of auditing, one vital area we look at is, because you may have competent staff, but if you don't have equipment that are reliable, that can give you reproducible results, then you cannot come up with any good result in the first instance.
Okay.
So we ensure that the test equipments are calibrated. They are maintained and calibrated. And by the time we go for audit, we have to cite a valid calibration certificate for every equipment. So that ensures that we are confident that if you have reliable equipment and you have standards to run standard calibration, the results should be reliable. Then another area we focus on is we have fortified sample. What I mean by fortified sample is that you have a sample that you have run the analysis over maybe 4 or 5 times, and you have reproducible results giving room for variations and standard deviation that is tolerable. You now know the results of these parameters in that sample.
Okay.
We now take that sample, we distribute that sample to laboratories. We know the results. We send the samples to laboratories and request that they analyze the samples and send the result back to the department. With that, we do round robin. It's called round robin.
Round robin.
Yes. To establish the proficiency of the various laboratories, how competent they are. That gives us confidence. And that also gives them confidence. And they give them probably confidence.
Okay. A lot of confidence there the DPR is given to Nigerians, petroleum users.
Let me quickly add,
okay,
for the benefit of the industry, that we normally encourage companies to train their staff. And the department, the HSC division, has its biannual stakeholders workshop for laboratory practitioners. We had one in 2015, and another one will be coming up next year. Just to refresh your minds about laboratory practices, good laboratory practices.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. That's the size of the package today. Thank you so much, our guest. Quite some enlightenment there. The Assistant Director, Health, Safety, Environment, in charge of Laboratory Services and Quality Control, Mr. Agada Jerome. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you very much.
All right. And to you, listener, thanks for being a part of DPR Half Hour today. Next week, Wednesday, at exactly 10 o'clock, another edition will come your way right here on the network service of Radio Nigeria. And many thanks to the production crew led by Tony Obuagu and Idowu Ezeobe. My name is Ahmed Olalekan. Thanks for listening.